Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So what we're going to be learning to do is to really understand and to clearly identify in our own experience different parts of our mind that are involved in our relationships with others. So Venerable Geshe, who's our teacher, his name is Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso, who's the founder of this centre, the author of many highly acclaimed meditation books like How to Transform Your Life. He explains very clearly what is the cause of all the problems in our relationships and what is the cause of all the goodness in our relationships, and gives us the opportunity to identify this in our own experience so that gradually over time we can be reducing the cause of all the problems in our relationships and we can be increasing the cause of all the peace and happiness. So in this book, How to Transform Your Life, which you can buy a paperback copy of if you wish, or you can download it for free, on page 79, there is a section called Non-Hatred. That's what we want, isn't it? A bit of non-hatred. So that's actually another way. Non-hatred basically is a state of mind that functions to decrease our hatred, decrease our anger, heal our anger. Non-hatred is the opposite of anger, the opposite of hatred. And this is otherwise known as love. So what is love? $1 million question. People have been asking this question for centuries, haven't they? In fact, when I say that, what is love? You can probably think of a few songs. I've got one coming into my mind now, but I'm not going to sing it. So what is love? So on page 79, Venerable Geshe says, non-hatred, so that which functions to reduce and eventually eliminate a hatred, in this context, is affectionate love, which is the opponent of hatred. So Venerable Geshe says, many people experience problems because their love is mixed with attachment. Okay? For such people, I mean, I would say that's everybody generally, unless we're really understanding these teachings and training in them. For such people, the more their love, here it's in inverted commas, the more their love increases, the more their attachment grows. So, in our relationships with others, our relationships with our children, our parents, our siblings, our colleagues, our intimate relationships, our relationships with strangers, we generally can easily develop a mixture of love and attachment. So first of all, I want to really give some very clear definitions of what is attachment and what is love. Okay, and then we're going to be comparing the two, compare and contrast. And then we're going to be learning how to develop the pure love. So what is attachment? So in the book by Venerable Geshe, How to Understand the Mind, Venerable Geshe explains very clearly what is attachment. So this is on page 113. It's otherwise known as desirous attachment. It's also known as uncontrolled desire. So love, pure love, is controlled desire. It's desire that we want, because it makes us peaceful and it makes our relationships healthy. So we can learn to deliberately cultivate. We can learn to have this controlled desire. We're choosing pure love. Attachment is uncontrolled desire. It's attachment that we don't generally choose. And we're not usually in control of, although we can learn to become in control of it. And in fact, uncontrolled desire is generally in control of us.
Ooh.
So definition of desirous attachment or uncontrolled desire is a deluded mind or deluded mental factor. Deluded means that what the object it's observing doesn't actually exist in the way that we think it does. So it's a deluded mental factor that observes its contaminated object, or observes an object, and then regards it as a cause of happiness, and then wishes for it. So this is attachment. So desirous attachment develops as follows. First, we perceive, we meet, or we remember, say a person. And then we feel them to be attractive. So we meet a person, and then maybe they make us laugh. Maybe they compliment us. Maybe they agree with our opinions. Maybe they have the power to promote us in an organization, or we feel they have. I don't know. Maybe they make us feel safe, or we think they make us feel safe. So we meet someone, say they make us laugh, or any of those things. So they make us laugh. We're momentarily distracted from our previous misery or whatever it was we were experiencing. They make us feel a little bit better about ourselves. So we're momentarily distracted from our low self-esteem. They make us not feel, we don't feel alone for a moment. So they momentarily distract us from our loneliness. We then, because our loneliness, our anxiety, whatever it is reduced, our peace increases. And then we think mistakenly, attachment thinks, that person has made me happy. Do you know this one? Happens all the time. It can happen, I'm not just talking about intimate relationships at all. It could be anybody. It can be the next door neighbor. They wave at you. Oh, love your plants. Oh, they've made me happy. You know? We then think, I like that person. We don't consciously go through this process. Sometimes we do it consciously, but it's a sort of one that we just intuitively think, they have made me happy. We then think, yes, there's someone there that has the power to make me happy. So then what we do is it's almost like we want to reinforce, attachment wants to reinforce, because we so want to believe there are people out there that have the power to make us happy. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it? There's someone, you just had to live with them and then you were happy forever. Wouldn't that be great? We so want to believe that. And the movies tell us it's true, don't they? And we think everybody else has got it and we want it. So then what our mind does is we focus our attention, we pay what we call inappropriate attention, we dwell on the good qualities of that person. So, you know, it can be quite interesting because at one point we don't have attachment for a person. Maybe you may have worked with this person for 2 years. May have lived next door to them for 2 years. You don't have much attachment for them for a long time. In fact, you might even have had aversion for them at one point. But then you start to pay inappropriate attention to all sorts of qualities, like their jokes, the way they walk. I mean, if it can get strong, if it becomes like romantic attachment, you can start to Well, even without romantic attachment, you start to look at physical qualities that they've got, start to zone in on them. And after a while, you know, even something that you may previously have found irritating or didn't even notice, like a twitch, you might start to go, oh, that's so attractive. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. We'll do this. Don't we? Was it just me? So your mind just focuses, zones in, dwells on, exaggerates the good qualities of a person. And it's like our mind of attachment paints a mental image, a picture of a person who appears to our mind to be intrinsically pleasant, attractive. So then, Sugyasha says, we focus our attention on its good qualities and exaggerate. We do this with handbags and cake and all sorts of objects, but here we're just talking about people, with an exaggerated sense of the attractiveness of the object, we then hold it to be desirable and desire it, develop desire for it. Finally, our desire attaches us to the object mentally so that it feels as if we've become glued to it or absorbed into it. We can't get them out of our mind. As Kylie Minogue sang. Do you know? So, Gashta says, we must be careful to distinguish attachment from love. Love is a virtuous mind that creates only peace and happiness. Whereas attachment is never virtuous and causes pain and problems. So we've looked at attachment, this mind that it's a delusion because that object that we perceive to be a cause of happiness doesn't actually exist. Geshe says it's a bit like chasing after a mirage. You chase after a mirage believing there's water to be there. When you get close to the mirage, it disappears, doesn't it? I'm sorry to say this, but it's the same with people. There is no such thing as a person that has the power to make us happy. The most people can do is temporarily distract us from our loneliness, from our boredom, from our insecurity, and so forth. Do you think that's true? But no one has the power to make us truly happy. Not even Brad Pitt or George Clooney or whoever it is. Miley Cyrus. I don't know, whoever it is that pops into your mind. All these random names are popping into my mind. So attachment is an illusion. It's a delusion because its observed object doesn't actually exist. It's a distortion. And we know this because sometimes our attachment subsides, doesn't it? You know, the initial, if you get into like an intimate relationship, the initial attachments that you have, what do they call it? The honeymoon period. It always subsides eventually, doesn't it? And, you know, that image that you had of this person that was this perfect being that had the power to make you happy, it always fades. And you start to think, gosh, they leave the toilet seat up. You know, and actually the way they breathe can become annoying. No, I mean, this is normal. This is so normal. It's not, it's, and actually it's like the picture's becoming more balanced. But don't worry, not all is not lost for your relationship. If you learn to recognize the attachment and then reduce it by developing pure love, by growing the pure love, okay? So what is pure love? Pure love is that there's three different types of love, but essentially pure love is a mind that wishes for someone else to be happy. Love is a mind, a part of our mind that wishes for another person or wishes, pure love actually wishes for all living beings without exception. To be happy all the time. So in our relationships, we usually have a mixture of attachment, which is I want you or I need you to make me happy, and pure love, which is I want you to be happy. So it's two opposite wishes, isn't it? Two opposite wishes. And the trouble is these wishes can conflict, okay? Because they're wishing for different things. But the more we have the wish for others to be happy, because that wish will make us happy, the more we have the wish for others to be happy, the more we will be happy in that relationship. But the more we have the wish for that person to make us happy, because they don't have the power to make us happy, the more we will experience suffering. Attachment is the cause of all our suffering. Love is the cause of all our peace. Make sense? So let's compare and contrast. Let's look at some examples of this so we can get really, really clear. Because what we want to be doing is develop a strong wish to recognize and reduce our attachment and to replace it with pure love. So I'll just read a little bit more from the book. Venerable Geshe says, in the section on non-hatred, he says, the more our attachment grows, our suffering increases. So when we have strong attachment, if our desires are not fulfilled, basically if the person doesn't function the way they're meant to function by making us happy, they become upset and angry. If the object of their attachment, such as their lover, even so much as talks to another person, they may become jealous or aggressive. This clearly indicates that their love is not real love, but attachment. Real love can never cause anger. It is the opposite of anger and can never cause problems. So one of the ways of recognizing attachment is it makes us, because we believe that person to be a cause of happiness, it can make us, our mind, possessive. To one degree or another, we all have this possessiveness when we have attachment present in our relationships. It might not be the sort of type of possessiveness that we think of when we think of possessiveness, where we start to get really jealous, but it might be. It makes us vulnerable to becoming very jealous. But certainly when you have some level of attachment towards someone, you want to keep them close. Like even if it's somebody you work with, if they then tell you that they're leaving the job, they're going to move somewhere else, what happens to your mind if you're attached to them? You feel like a cause of your happiness is moving to another company, don't you? And so you start to experience anxiety and maybe you experience some pain and some frustration. When the attachment becomes very strong, like it can be between parents and children, where it can be in intimate relationships and close friendships, then it can give rise to a lot of jealousy. You know, so say you're at a party and you have strong attachment to someone and you see them chatting a lot to someone else, how does that feel? Oh my gosh. Can feel agonizing, can't you? Can't concentrate. Just, oh my gosh. You know, it's like your peace is completely destroyed. If somebody actually goes off with that person or leaves us for another person or starts hanging out with another person, it can feel so painful, can't it? The jealousy, the pain, it can be intense, but that is all coming from attachment. It's not coming from love. Venerable Geshe says, in How to Transform Your Life, he says, cherishing others or loving others also protects us from the problems caused by desirous attachment. We often become strongly attached to another person who we feel will help us to overcome our loneliness by providing the comfort, security, or excitement we crave. However, if we have a loving mind towards everyone, we do not feel lonely. Instead of clinging on to others to fulfill our desires, we will want to help them fulfill their needs and wishes. Cherishing or loving all living beings solves all our problems, because all our problems come from self-cherishing and this attachment. For example, at the moment, if our partner left us for someone else, we would probably feel very upset. If you've got a partner, you can probably relate to this. But if we truly cherish them, if we truly love them, we would want them to be happy. And we would rejoice in their happiness. There would be no basis for us to feel jealous or depressed. So although we might find the situation challenging, it would not be a problem for us.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.